Thanks for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbfvegas.org. Now here is Pastor Jim Cruz.
I don't know why I'm singing in that voice. I don't know. Hey, so I'm Pastor Jim Cruz. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are so grateful that you guys are with us this morning, and we're in the middle of a renovation. How many of you have ever tackled a home renovation project? You redid your kitchen, your bathroom, your furniture, right? How many have done that? Keep your hand up, all right? Let's pray for all these people. Pastor Russell, you did it just last month, right? Yeah, was that fun? No. Yeah, he has PTSD, he said, from that. It's one of those things that it's never fun. It takes longer than you thought, and it costs more money than you originally thought it was going to. But in the end, it's worth it, because that thing that you were renovating gets improved, and it becomes worth more value. And when we talk about our lives and what Christ has done for us and giving his life for us to have new life, what we're talking about is God renovating our lives. And when he's done with us, we become better human beings and our value goes up exponentially. And so that's why we're talking for several weeks about this, and we're looking at different aspects of renovation. And today we're talking about renovating our attitudes. How many of you can use an attitude adjustment? All right? How many of you have a spouse that can use an attitude? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Adam, I saw you raise your hand. I'm telling Linda. No, that's not what the sermon's about. We talked about that a few weeks ago, renovating relationships. Seriously, we're going to get into God's Word and learn what God has to say about renovating our attitudes. So we're going to be doing that. And we're going to pray over there. We're going to pray for Texas. It's bad. Houston is pretty much underwater. A lot of you, anyone have relatives that are living there or friends that live there? Yeah, we need to definitely pray for them. And then, so let's pray. I'll introduce you to my subcontractors for today. And you guys recognize most of them, right? But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you gave us your word to transform our lives, to renovate our lives. And Lord, we give you permission to have your way with us, especially with our attitudes, God. Some of our attitudes have been horrible this week. God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, renovate our lives, renovate our attitudes so that we can be the children of God that you've called us to be. And God, we intercede right now for our brothers and sisters, relatives and friends that are in Texas, God, the Gulf Coast, Lord, Houston, God, all the people that are in traumatic situations. God, I pray that you would supernaturally rescue folks that need to be rescued. God, we pray that you would supernaturally bring provision and resources to those folks that are crying out right now for help out of desperation. Lord, I pray that, God, babies would be saved. I pray grandparents would be saved, Lord, and rescued divinely, Lord, by your hand. May there be story after story of your hand miraculously rescuing people from dangerous situations. I pray, God, that the church in Texas would rise up in this time of need, Lord. There's big churches in Texas, and I pray that, Lord, the church would become mobilized and that the church would be your hands and feet to the people that need it the most, Lord. And God, I know that your light shines the brightest when we're at our darkest. And God, I pray that your light would shine through your church right now in Texas. And even God, if you want us to get more involved than just interceding for them this morning, God, I pray for our leadership, Lord, that you would move our hearts this week and show us how we might be able to get involved even more than just praying for them. And we trust you're going to do that. Be with us throughout this entire service. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. How many are going to continue to pray for Texas this week? All right. It's the only time I'm going to pray for Texas because I'm an Oklahoma Sooner. And And we don't typically get along with Texans, but on this particular case, we will definitely pray for Texas. Well, I want to talk about renovating our attitudes. And, you know, the Bible talks a lot about attitude, but this one particular passage that I love, and it really was transformative for my life, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul, who writes the letter to the Philippian church, he's in prison, he's incarcerated, he's going through a hard moment in his life, but yet his attitude is perfect. How many of us, I mean, all it takes is one little thing to go wrong in our day, and our attitude just gets horrible, right? That guy going slow in front of us in the fast lane, that can throw our attitude off. You know, your coffee not being ready when you want it to be ready can throw your attitude off. I mean, we get twisted up so easily. Paul is incarcerated. Things are not going his way. And yet, he writes this letter and tells us how to maintain the attitude that God wants us to have. And this is what he says in Philippians chapter 2. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now he goes in to explain exactly what kind of an attitude Jesus Christ had. It was the attitude that took himself out of heaven and came down to this earth and gave himself up for the sake of the humanity of the world so that they can be attached to God. In other words, he became a servant of humanity in that act of leaving heaven and coming to earth. In other words, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And in that, he had the attitude that allowed him to be the Savior of the world. I mean, that's powerful. The way that you are going to navigate through life in the way that God intended you to navigate life is through learning how to be a servant of God to other people, to be a servant of God to other people. Now, this is so hard for us because we have been trained since we were little that we are to be a consumer, that people around us have been put around us to serve us, to help us. What have you done for me lately? It's like this is the attitude that we have been raised up with, and so this is so counter-cultural, that God says, you are not a consumer, you are a contributor. You are not to let other people serve you, but to fulfill your life, you are to learn to serve them. That's the key. And your attitude is going to be shifted when you begin to live out a servant's life. That's what happens. Now, Jesus spends a lot of time talking about what being a servant looks like, but I want to just give you a summary of five PowerPoints, the five big reasons why we should serve, and specifically why we should serve the church, and why we should serve people in and around our life. Let's just talk about those real quickly this morning. Number one, if you guys have that, we've been created to serve. Write that down. You and I have been created to serve. In other words, when God designed us, Ecclesiastes says he designed us with eternity written in our heart. That's why some of you came here without the Lord living inside of you and you feel emptiness inside of you. Drugs aren't going to fill that. Alcohol is not going to fill that. Sex is not going to fill that. Nothing is going to fill that. That void is there for one person and one person only, and that is the God that created you. It's the only way to fill that void. But in the same capacity that he's put eternity in your heart, he put love in your heart. And you've been designed and created by God to love other people. That's why when you start entering into a love relationship and you begin pouring out that love, it does something for you. I mean, you're blessing somebody else by loving them, but it turns around and it blesses you. Science even shows us that when you begin actively loving somebody, endorphins go up. You know, dopamine, that chemical inside of you, that feel-good feeling, you know, it goes up inside of you when you have that loving feeling. And you give that loving feeling away to other people. But in the same capacity that you've been created and designed by God to love, you've been created and designed by God to serve or to help other people. You know, science just came up with this about 10 years ago. They studied what they call the helper's high. That what they found out and what they discovered is that when you go out of your way to help somebody else in a need that they have, the same endorphins and the same dopamine that goes up in your system when you love people activates when you begin helping people. So when you begin doing what God's created you to do, there is a physical reward system that God puts in place. Like, that a boy, that a girl, that's why I designed you, that's why you're here on this earth, to help serve other people. And I'm here to put an exclamation on that by giving you these feelings to follow those things. So you've been created and designed by God to serve. Number two is that Jesus and his disciples told us to serve. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, he talks about this in chapter 13. You know, he's doing this weird thing and he's washing their feet, and that was very, you know, big back then. You know, they had dirty feet, and they would come into a home and they would wash feet as they were having dinner together. And the lowest of the servants had this job. You can imagine, you know, they didn't have shoes, right? They had bare feet and the dirt and all kinds of things wrong with their feet. And Jesus says this. He says, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. You're blessed. If you serve somebody else, Jesus says, you're going to be blessed. And that word there means satisfied. It means fulfilled. There's something inside of you that is going to feel like, this is right. This is what my life was supposed to feel like. Again, Jesus teaching us this principle. Now, Peter chimes in, and in the book of 1 Peter, he says this about serving. In 1 Peter 4:10, he says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And he says, use them well to do what? To serve one another. Use them to serve one another. We're taught in the Bible through Jesus and his disciples, like, hey, if you want to serve God, then he's not only well pleased with you, but this is what you ought to do. But number three, I think this is so good, is that it helps us get rid of self-centeredness. Do you know self-centeredness is the poison to your relationships? Matter of fact, I would probably guess that if I were to sit down with you in the relationship that you recently had a conflict with, that chances are somewhere in that relationship, self-centeredness popped its head up, either with you or with the other person, and it created conflict, because that's what self-centeredness does. It creates conflict. But think about it. When you humble yourself out and you serve, it kills self-centeredness. I love it today because we're doing baptisms after service, and we made a decision, and even next month we're going to be tying it into the service, but we're doing baptisms, and baptisms is a symbolic act of showing that when you come to Christ, you are saying no to yourself. You're denying yourself, and you're letting your flesh die so that Christ can be resurrected in your life. And so what helping does is it reinforces the fact that your life is not about you anymore, it's about God. And so that helping, that serving, what it does is it kind of suffocates that self-centeredness that wants to ruin you. See, what happens when you're a self-centered person, your world is really, really tiny. When it's you and you're the center of it, your world is very small. And here's what I found out. When your world is small, everything that happens in your life becomes a big deal. It's a big deal. Something goes wrong in your day, something goes wrong, the thing that you don't like, and you throw a big deal about it. It becomes a major, major ordeal. But see, what I've noticed is when you make your life about other people, your world gets a lot bigger. Your world becomes big. And see, when your world becomes big, guess what? Everything else in your world becomes small. It's a perspective issue. Some of you are flying off the handle over stupid, silly, meaningless things, and it's all to show you that you put way too much emphasis on you. And the more emphasis you put on other people, your world is going to expand, making all those little small things become small once again. Does that make sense? So helping other people, serving other people, it suffocates self-centeredness. Number four is you need to understand this is one of the most practical ways to demonstrate God's love to other people. It's the most practical way to show love. You know, you could talk about it all you want, but when you actually roll your sleeves up and you go help somebody, I mean, man, it says, I love you. Matter of fact, we did a love language test a few weeks ago, if you were here in our relationship talk, and we find out in this little survey that people respond to love in different ways. And one of the five love languages identified in this test is the acts of service. So in other words, when somebody does something nice for you, it says I love you more than if they gave you a hug, more than if they spent time with you, even more if, you know, they gave you a nice, like, word or compliment, like, hey, man, you look good today. Some people, that it speaks truckloads to them if you go out of your way and you help them out. Husbands, let me tell you, some of you are married to women that are addicted to acts of service as a form of love. And you wonder why she doesn't feel loved by you. I'm telling you, go do the dishes tonight. Go empty the trash. Go vacuum the floor. Just pick up your underwear. I mean, it's the little things. I heard a quote years ago, this is a little PG-13, it says, sex begins in the kitchen. But it's not what you think. See, what this author was going on to say is it begins, women feel loved when you go out of your way and you help them, men. When you serve them, men. And so that has nothing to do with this other than it's a little marriage pointer, all right? But it's a practical way to show God's love. And then fifth, and this is a big one for us as a church family, it's a great way to meet and connect with other church attenders. You know, our church is growing, which is so amazing. It's growing, and God is doing some really cool things, and we're seeing lives being changed. But one of the things I notice as we grow as a church, it becomes a little bit more difficult to meet people and to get to know their story and to get to know them and feel like they're like a genuine friend in your life. And what I've noticed is that when you begin serving other people, it's a great way to start getting to know people within your church family. Because when Jesus set up the church, he never intended it to be an individual thing. It was always intended to be a community thing. That's why when Jesus is speaking in these sermons, he says things like, you are light of the world. And we like to individualize it because we're Americans and we individualize everything. But when Jesus is saying that in the Greek language, it's a plural. And what he's saying is, you all are light of the world. Or as our Texas friends like to say, y'all are light of the world. Y'all. Jesus intends us to be in community. Matter of fact, I will go as far as to say, even how he treated the followers that were around him, and saying, these are my brothers and sisters. He was saying that church family can actually feel more like your first family than your second family. I know this to be true for my own life. I'm close to my family, but when you start getting into people's lives and you start sharing life, it's like you come to church and you really feel like you're coming into a family living room. And that's what we want as a church family here. We want you to feel a part of the family. We don't want you to feel ignored. We don't want you to feel invisible. We want to know you. We want to know what you're about. We want to know your story. We want to know how God's working in your life and the things that you still need help with. And one of the best ways we found at Valley that we can be this kind of a family is when we all roll up our sleeves and we help and we serve together. We found that out. And so, matter of fact, we branded this the ABCs of our church. If you really want to be discipled, then you do the ABCs. Attend service regularly. Belong to a life group, which we talked about a few weeks ago and we're going to be talking about again. And then the C is commit to serving in a ministry. We believe that's how we're going to do that here. And we believe that as you help people within the church community, that you yourself are going to be helped in the long run as well. But let me introduce our beautiful panel, and you guys are beautiful. But they're up here because we're doing a ministry fair today, which means it's a Valley Rally, we called it, which means that we want to just tell you ways that you can be a servant here. And we're not looking for professional volunteers. We're looking for people that are saying, hey, I'm still broken, but I'm willing to roll up my sleeve and serve and be more like Jesus. That's all we need. God doesn't look at you for your ability. God looks at you for your availability. And if you're available to be a servant of God, God will use you in all kinds of capacities. And at one point, every staff member here, they were a volunteer in a church. And God used that and paved the way for them to be able to be on a church staff, including me. So let me introduce my panel. They'll tell you a little bit about their ministries, but let me introduce them and I'll come back. First to my right is Mr. Jerry Johnson, our pastor over our operations and life groups. And a little bit something about him.
Today is his birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jerry. Happy birthday to you. Good job, man. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, guys.
So that's Jerry. I'll introduce you guys and then we'll come back. So, and then to his right is Pastor Russell Hoyt. I didn't tell you, but Russell, Annette's not with us, but she kind of does a lot of the ministries along with him. But he oversees a lot of our ministries. And him and Annette have been married 26 years this year. Little something. And then to his right is Lauren Prothro, our creative arts pastor. He oversees our worship, obviously, and all the techie stuff from sound to video to lights. And something that you guys might not know is that he has 9 brothers and sisters. So he's one of 10 kids. And all of them are brothers except one. You have one sister?
Correct, yes. And 2 of them are here today, actually.
Oh, so, yeah, two of your bros. Where are they at?
Wave, guys. There you go.
In the back. Some more Prothros. Did you guys like have to drive around like a 15-passenger van?
We did. We were that church family that took up 2 parking spots in the parking lot.
And you were homeschooled.
Yes, Jim. I was homeschooled.
But,
thank you for sharing.
But hey, you know what? Homeschoolers get a bad rap because, you know, we homeschooled our kids for a season 2. So not all homeschoolers turn out, you know, kind of like that stereotypical thing. Dude, you're a cool-looking dude. You're a hipster guy. Yes. And then, so then the Wright family right next to them, they are the Wrights. Joanna and her husband, Sean. Joanna oversees her children's ministry and Sean oversees our youth ministry and they kind of oversee them together as a couple. But Joanna, I was finding out about her. She's a runner. She likes to do half marathons. You got one coming up that you're training for right now. And that's what you like to do for fun, huh? Just run?
Yeah. Running is fun, guys. It is.
Depends who you ask. I don't think it's fun.
Join me.
Unless somebody's chasing me. Yeah. And Sean, I found out about you today. You used to sing until puberty, and then something happened.
Yeah, I hit puberty, and it just went right downhill from there. I was actually asked to go sing at Disneyland, so I actually have this.
What?
Yeah. Seriously. As part of a barbershop quartet.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There you go, man.
Yeah, but I won't do that anymore.
Well, here, you can PTSD. Start serving on our worship team right here, dude. Yeah. But anyway, so what we just want to do, we just want to be able to turn it over to these guys because I hear from people all the time that start attending the church. They're like, man, what? You know, we love this church. You know, what can we do next? And I would encourage you to take a message like this where maybe you're struggling. Maybe you see that God is wanting to renovate your attitude. And I can't think of a better way to let God start doing that than to volunteer at your church because there are so many opportunities right here as we just see a harvest of souls coming here every week I just met another guy after last service, brand new to our church, and found us on the internet, and just so excited about it. But Jerry, we'll start with you, man. Tell us some of the ministries that you're overseeing, and maybe even a God story. If you guys can think of a God story, ways that God is using some of our existing volunteers to do incredible things with the people that attend our church.
Absolutely. So I have eight or nine ministries, something like that. So my birthday gift from you guys today is that everybody serves in one of these ministries up here. That would be my birthday gift. Yes?
Yes? Okay. We could do that.
That would be, okay. So I have the, one of my ministries is the Hub. So you guys know in the Hub we have Bibles, we have book information. It's like a library. We have CDs, DVDs of our past services in there, T-shirts. So they're looking for just five people to serve. We don't currently have anybody at that 5 o'clock hour to serve. So I'll run in there sometimes, or they'll make their way around it. But if we had five people, that'd be awesome in that particular ministry. I also have the cafe right behind us here. Who likes our cafe?
Jesus Loves Coffee.
They're looking for six people. And part of that is that we have volunteers and they're serving faithfully. But those guys, we want to give them a break. We want to give them some rest. Some of the faces I see are here every single Sunday. So we're trying to just give them a little bit of relief over there. So I'm looking for six individuals for the cafe.
And especially if you used to be a barista at like Starbucks or whatever, that would be great. You know why I say that Jesus loved coffee, don't you?
He brews.
Because he brews.
I knew that was coming.
Yes.
So we need six volunteers there. The biggest ministry needs that I have is in our VIP department. That is our first-time guests. If you see the tent out there up front on the Sahara side, we're trying to do that same thing on the back half of the church on the Arville side. So we need 25.
And every week, Jerry, so these guys know, like on average, how many people come into our doors for the first time every week?
So that's a great story. When we went and started VIP about a year and a half now ago, I prayed that God would give us 20. That was the number in my head. I was like, just if we can get 20 people a week to come through that our VIP. That's happened every single week since we started our VIP.
So every week, 20 people that have never attended here before slip in our doors. It's incredible.
Yes. So they need 25 people there. Also, my greeters, those are the folks that greet you in the front, that give you a hug, say hi to you as you're walking in the doors. They're looking for five individuals as well. And there's a God story out of that. It was a gentleman that came here just a couple weeks ago. But one of our greeters recognized this gentleman. Looked like he was going through some things. He was struggling. And what he said he pulled a guy to the side and found out that this gentleman had been homeless for 15 years. He was homeless for 15 years. But our greeter, just the fact that he recognized that and pulled him to the side, connected him to Ron Cornell, who's in charge of our 2X ministry, and got him plugged into and got him some help. But those are kind of the stories. It's not just about serving and we need you guys to come in and plug in. God might use you in those opportunities to speak to somebody, pray for somebody, or even minister
and be a part of a life change story. Absolutely. Like that. Because I would think like a greeter, you just want me to shake hands or high five guys, but yet God is using our greeters to change lives. I love that story.
Absolutely, yes. So we can use more greeters. I need six of those. Welcome Center. That is the information desk out there. It's down now our Welcome Center, but that's where you can get all the information on anything that's going on throughout the church, outreach programs, current situations that are going on. So they need five individuals over there as well. So all these have tables out there, you guys. You can talk to the leaders. They'll tell you exactly what it is. It's not, you don't have to have any skill for that. We can train you. If you're a little nervous about, well, I don't know what to do, we can help you with that. So
and sometimes it's just like that person there is like, how's your day going? And God can just take a conversation like that, and pretty soon I've went back there in the Welcome Center, and I've caught people praying together more times than not. I mean, so God's even using our Welcome Center people to really touch people in a deep way.
It was a person here that just reminded me when you said that. It was a person here left his wallet. And it had a big amount of cash in it. Left it. Somebody turned it in, and we got a phone call later. It was two service hours later, I mean, two service times later, and he called and he said, I'm just hoping. He said he prayed. It had everything that he needed in there, his license and everything. But he came back, and I end up handing him his wallet back with everything in it. We counted it, made sure. And he said, you know, I thought I would never see this again, but the people here at your church are honest. He only been at a church three times. It was his third time, and he had left this wallet there. And he to this day, he still attends our church, and he said, that's a God. That's a
that
God
is cool. That's a cool story.
Yes. So Levites, here's one that's kind of interesting. You guys might not hear a lot about this one. This ministry, they serve every Sunday morning. They have a Bible study at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. And then they get the church prepared for services on Sunday. They're looking for four men specifically. They're having trouble with the, when we fill up this church after a service, you can imagine how much trash we're dumping out there. So the ladies are having to pick up those heavy bags and take them out to the back or whoever we can grab. So they're asking if we can get four guys to help in that ministry, just four, that'd be tremendous for that their ministry. So,
and Levites, just to give you a little backdrop on how they got their name, and Levites in the Old Testament were the people that prepared the tabernacle and the temple for worship. So their job was to make sure that the temple, the tabernacle were ready to go. So this is a fitting name.
Absolutely. And then we have two more. Noah's crew, similar to our Levites, they're here on Saturday. Those individuals work hard. I bless their hearts because they come in and they, after our big activities that happen on Saturdays, they're putting the church ready, trying to get it as much prepared for those Levites in the morning. So they're looking for five individuals as well, just on a Saturday. So if you work during the week, this may be an opportunity to come down here for a couple hours, just vacuum, taking out trash, and getting the church prepared for our Levites in the morning. And then lastly is our van drivers. We need three van drivers. We have individuals that drive down to the rescue mission. In some cases, we use our vans to go to concert, to camps and things like that. So we need a few drivers there, even the golf cart that comes around and picks you guys up from the parking lot. So that's my ministry in total, looking at about 58, 60 people, and that'll get us where we need to be. Our church is growing, you guys, so we have some awesome, amazing volunteers. But as we continue to grow, we continue to need more people to help us out in those ministries.
Thank you so much, Jerry, for all that you're doing, bro. Pastor Russell, tell us the ministries that you're kind of overseeing.
Well, I'm like Jerry. I feel like, remember that show, Hey Man? I got 10 different ministries, man. And I need some awesome people. I already have some awesome people. But in the church, besides outreach, we have ushers. And those are the people that help you do your seat, answer any questions that you have. And then we also have our safety team. Our safety team, I think, is one of the best safety teams in Las Vegas. I give them some kudos, some good men and women there, and they keep our church safe. And so that you can sit here and receive and know that everybody that you love in this church is being looked after. Also, we have an amazing prayer team, and they're the people that come up at the end of service to pray with you. And so what we're looking for is, with our ushers, we're looking for 20 ushers. We have amazing volunteers already, but if we had 20 more ushers, that would give us the ability to rotate weekly so that people aren't serving every week. And so that gives people time to just rest, you know? The same thing with safety team. We're looking for 20 more safety team members. Here's the thing. You might feel like, well, I don't know what to do. You know, hey, listen, we'll train you. And like Miss Vicky says, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. So I'm asking you to really pray about that and be a part of what God's doing here. And then with our prayer team, I just want to encourage you, if you want to know what our prayer team's about, come to a Tuesday night prayer service at 6 p.m. because the Holy Spirit is really moving in that time. So we could always use a few good men and women for prayer too.
Yeah, that's the prayer ministry up front, what they're doing is incredible, man. We've got healings that God is doing some supernatural things through our prayer ministry. It's powerful.
I have a God story on that. I remember this was a few years ago when the City Harmonic was playing here. And here's the one thing. Once you're on the prayer team, you guys get to come to the concerts for free because we pray for people. And so me and Alan Wamba, we were out in the foyer before the concert, and there was this gentleman. We didn't know anything about him, what was going on, but he just looked like he was in pain. And we're like, bro, let us pray for you. And so we just said, Lord, touch his body right now, heal him. And we didn't know anything about him. And he just kind of looked at us like, okay, and walked away. Well, 6 weeks later, my wife, she's working in the front office, and this man's dressed in a FedEx outfit. And he goes, I want to talk to the blonde guy and the brunette guy that prayed for me. And my wife's like, that's probably my husband. And he says, well, I want you to tell him something. He said, I was scheduled for back surgery. His discs were blown out, and they were going to put these titanium rods in there. And he said, I went to the doctor to get ready for the surgery, and they did some tests on me, and they said my back was completely healed, and now I'm working. And so that's one of many God stories where when you are available for God, he'll move through you. And then another one was, this was a few years ago, and when we had our old slogan up there that says we're the church that loves the hell out of our city, right? There was a kid, young 20s, I call him a kid, and he was high on dope, and the night before, he was looking at our sign, and he goes, God, if that's true, show me one person that loves me. And he came in here, and one of our safety team members said, hey, Pastor Russ, something's not right with that guy. He don't look good. And he was sitting kind of over in the corner with his hands in his face, and he just looked, like, bad. And so I walked up to him, and I said, hey, man, how you doing? And he goes, I'm not doing good. And I said, what's going on? He goes, I don't want to hurt anybody. I said, well, you're not, because you're here, and Jesus loves you. And I prayed with the kid. Well, all of a sudden, you just see this transformation in his life. And about 2 weeks later, he pulls me aside, and he says, Pastor Russ, I want to tell you something. I gave God an ultimatum, and maybe that's not right. When I said I didn't want to hurt anybody, he said, I told God, show me one person that cares, and I won't go home and kill myself. And it was that one person that noticed that other person that brought another person to come and pray. And see, so you don't understand, there's lives that are being changed through things that you don't even think are a big deal. And one more thing, Pastor Jim. You know, here's the focus, you guys. Jesus hung on the cross, and he gave it all, and he was others-focused. And you know what? Sometimes you're going through something, and here's my advice to you. You got to give what you need. You got to give what you need. If you need to be encouraged, please encourage somebody. If you need a blessing, be a blessing to somebody. Because, see, the Bible says that you can't outgive God. That's not just in your tithes. That's your time. That's your energy. Because we are all his kids. And if your kids were lost at Disneyland, like Pastor Adam said, what would you do? Honestly, would you close down that park and start telling everybody, you got to find my kid. You got to find my kid. Well, you know what? There are lost kids out here that Jesus loves. He paid a price for. And we are part of that search group. We're there to search and find and save.
That's a good word, man.
Yep.
That's right. So, Lauren, tell us a little bit about, man, you got a fan out there, man.
Brother.
Your brothers are harassing you. But tell us about worship, because, you know, obviously you didn't always lead worship. At one point in your story, you probably were a volunteer like your other musicians are now. Like, tell us about that journey for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think probably my God story about being involved in worship is just when you're on a team. I mean, my talent was down here, you know, and I'm on a team with people that are up here, and as I joined a team that I was, you know, subpar and still learning and growing, because I'm playing with them at this level, it kind of musically helped me rise to a new level. It was really interesting, and things were coming out of my playing and my singing that I had never heard myself do, and I'm like, well, it's because I guess it's because I'm playing with these other more talented people than me, and so that's one of the coolest things I love about a team. And to anyone that out there that might think, oh, I'm not talented enough, or I can play, but I don't play that good, not enough to be on the team. Well, we all started somewhere, you know, and we all had to, once we got on a team, it's an interesting thing how the team helps us all rise to a new level. So I just want to encourage anyone out there with that. Also, our tech ministry, you know, we only notice the tech people back there when they do something wrong, right? Lyrics aren't on the screen on time, or video doesn't work right. That's when we turn around and suddenly we notice them. When the service goes perfectly, nobody notices they're back there, right? So give a hand for the tech people back there.
Way to go, guys.
Yeah, and I mean, if you can work a smartphone, which majority of people in here do, I would say, you can be a part of the tech ministry as well. They If you can work a phone, you can work back there. And if you don't have training in majority of the areas like lighting or screens or our video switcher, any of that kind of experience, we can train you, no problem. And just so you know, too, we did launch our streaming back in April, right around Easter. And we are reaching a crowd of people that are not even in this room anymore, or that are not in this room. And I believe it can be that one day we're reaching a bigger audience of people than are in this room, out that are in different areas of the country and couldn't make it here and all that. So it's a powerful tool that we have to stream online, and that's a cool resource.
We have somebody, I found out too, we have somebody, a friend of ours, watches from England every Sunday. She tunes in live. So Valley Las Vegas is happening in England today. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Back on your musicians, I might look up here and say, oh, you don't need any musicians because I see that you have a guitarist, I'm a guitarist. I see you have a drummer, I'm a drummer. Can you use more than just the guys that you have up on stage?
Absolutely. I'd love to double the depth of the volunteers we have. We have phenomenal musicians up here. I'm thrilled to get to lead these guys, and I couldn't do my job without them. So, but yeah, I'd love to see us double who we have. I'd love to have two Franks, two Lindas, two Moniques, two Jessies, and two Juans. I mean, they're all talented, and if I can duplicate who we have, we'll be in really, really good shape.
That's awesome, man. And I bet you somebody out there, you're a drummer. You're. Okay, so the Wrights. I'll start with you, Joanna. You oversee kids' church, kids' ministry. Boy, does that take a lot of volunteerism. But, you know, a lot of people that may not have kids back there, they just think we're just giving free babysitting. But a lot more is going on back there than just babysitting. Tell us about it.
Yes, we definitely do not babysit back there. We do a lot more. We love your kids. We don't just say that. We put it into action every Sunday and every Wednesday. It takes over 100 people to run children's ministry a week, so we definitely need volunteers. God's story there is sometimes we have kids that are tough. They've had a tough childhood. They're walking through things that no child should walk through right now. And as volunteers, we get to love on them. We get to pray for them. We get to hear what God is doing outside of church weekly. And that's volunteers investing their time, loving them, you know, spending that extra moment with them to see, you know, God working in them. I also wanted to say, like, I don't want to minimize my nursery volunteers. They are awesome. They love your kids. They want you to enjoy service and not worry about your kids, knowing that they're in a safe and fun environment. So if you have a heart for kids, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or just a single person, you know, those kids, they need people that love them. You know, they need that weekly touch from God. And that could be you, you know. So I encourage you guys to come out and love them.
I know so many people that grew up in the church. They may not be able to remember the sermons, but they remember the name of their second grade Sunday school teacher. And so the impact that you can make as a volunteer in kids' church is so phenomenal to me. I mean, you really, the kids' ministry teachers leave legacies for the next generation. And I think it's so incredible. So thank you all that volunteer out there, by the way.
Yes,
we love you guys.
Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
So, Sean, tell us, a lot of people don't know that, you know, what youth ministry does. We know you guys just got back from summer camp, but youth ministry is more than just Sunday school class for them. I mean, you do extracurricular things, you guys do events, and tell us, what is youth ministry?
Well, youth ministry is the most fun ministry here, no offense, guys, but we actually get to go out and do a lot of fun stuff as well. So we went to Went Wild. We have laser tag coming up. We like to take things outside of just the church as well. We have a certain designated time in the beginning of service where we spend about 20 minutes literally just hanging out with the kids, whether we're playing basketball or just sitting with them or playing Guitar Hero. Maybe there's your next worship team there. But we have a really cool group that literally, that's our purpose, is to just be there for those kids. Because one of my favorite sayings that I've heard is that some people don't care what you know, and so you bleed with them, right? They want to know that you're going to go through with them, that you're there for them, you're physically there for them, not just a person willing to come and say, hey, it's going to be all right. It's like, no, I'm willing to sit here with you for a minute. And so what's kind of cool is we had a God story out of that, and we had a kid that was shooting basketball and was there with a couple leaders and kind of noticed that something wasn't right with them, so just started a conversation with them, like, hey, how's it going? As you're kind of winded shooting basketball, I'll keep going, right? And basketball is not a requirement to serve in the youth, by the way. I'm not very good anyways, except for I tell the youth I'm the best. But so as you're out there, we're just shooting basketball and we're kind of playing with them, when he started saying, hey, I'm not having a very good day, I'm not having a very good time. And then he ends up just leading him to the Lord right there on the basketball court. Not even during the service, not during prayer. We have a new brother in Christ just because of basketball right there in that ministry. So it's very important that like, we got to understand that it's up onto us to love these students and these kids. And even with KidsLand, that's what we named our children's ministry, because we changed it because we wanted to make sure the vision was very clear. And KidsLand stands for love, advance, nurture, and disciple. It's a whole lot more than babysitting, right? And so the rec, which is the room that we're in with the youth, is called the rec because not because of recreation, but that's our purpose. We want to reach the lost, we want them to encounter God, and we want to connect them with believers, right? And so with youth ministry, guys, is, you know, 14 years ago, I'm old, 14 years ago, I was sitting in a church, Bakersfield Church, in the sanctuary, just like this, and I kind of felt like I needed to get involved. I felt like there was more to Christianity than coming and sitting in a pew. And I already had this pull, I already had this feel for it, but it took a pastor to come on stage and call me out. And so I'm excited we're doing this, because if a pastor did not do that, I never would have gotten involved in youth ministry. I never would have gotten involved back then. And then 14 years later, I'm actually in a youth ministry helping lead and change these kids' lives and seeing what God is doing for our youth and our future.
And just I think about the impact that we can have on youth. It was a youth pastor like you that invited me to Hume Lake when I was a teen. And if it wasn't for that youth pastor saying, why don't you come to Hume Lake, I wouldn't have went to Hume, I wouldn't have found Christ, and I probably wouldn't be a pastor today. So I'm just thinking, like, how many of those youth that you have right now, God is using you and using your volunteers to raise up generals for God's army for the next generation. I mean, that it just gets me excited thinking about that, man. So here's what we're doing today, church, is... not only are we talking about renovating your attitude, we want to give you a place to practice rolling up your sleeves and serving someone else beside yourself. And we just listed all these different opportunities. And these guys with their leaders, their volunteer leaders, they're going to be in the breezeway today. And they're going to be there like an exhibit place. Or you can ask them questions, what kind of involvement, what kind of commitment. And they'll be able to walk you through what it looks like. And what we're hoping today is that God would just move your heart to sign up for at least one area. Okay, don't be the guy that signs up for all of them, all right? Don't be that guy or gal. But just say, I feel like God's calling me to join this one and to try this out. And what we're doing is we're trying to get geared up here, because September through May is when we see the bulk of the traffic that comes through the church. Summer's over, everyone's back in school, so we're gearing up these areas for the harvest that we know God is going to send. And that's where you get to help serve the Lord by serving other people. And so we're excited about it. So you guys, you're dismissed to go get ready for all the people that are going to be signing up. Yes. And I know, like, there's a lot of you that are already serving. And I don't want to forget you. And I don't want to just say, we're just about new volunteers. But I just want to give you an idea of how many people it takes to put on a service like this. So if you are currently involved in some capacity of ministry, whether it's outreach or guest services or youth or children's ministry, can I just recognize you for a moment? Would you just stand up to your feet so we can honor you? If you're a volunteer in any capacity with the church, thank you, you guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. And now, if you're sitting, look around, and after service, find somebody that's standing up and saying, hey, man, tell me about, how has this helped you your life and get you more dialed in? So thank you, guys. Have a seat. But, I look at this, and Sam, I don't know if you got my text, but I God put this scripture on my heart. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58. You are on it, dude. All right. So here it says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Isn't that a great verse? The ways that you serve God's kingdom are never done in vain. You are changing lives for all eternity. So learn to serve others, and by doing so, you're going to renovate your own attitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you, God, for giving us a space like this to practice what it means to serve other people by serving your church, your bride. So, Lord, show us right now divinely maybe an area that you want us to plug into, you want us to get involved with, you want us to serve in. Maybe it's children's ministry. Maybe it's the worship team or tech or guest services. Lord, you show us. Give us a confirmation even while we go out there to the breezeway. Just let your Holy Spirit whisper it into our ears. And while everyone's praying, maybe asking God where he wants you to serve in. It's my desire as your pastor that everybody serve somewhere. Just so that we can practice what it means to be a servant, as Jesus told us to be one. But I know as everybody's praying that there's some of you that haven't made a decision yet to walk with Jesus in your life. Maybe this is the first time you heard about a relationship with God or what it means to have faith in Christ. But let me tell you, a decision I made as a young man that I've never regretted in all of my life, because the trajectory of what God has done with me has exceeded anything I could have asked or imagined he could have ever done in my life. And I'm nothing special. See, God says in his word and declares to us, that's his vision for all of our lives as his kids. But your sin has knocked you out of relationship with God. And the Bible says Jesus came to this earth and he died for your sins so that you could be reconciled back to your heavenly Father. And it's through that relationship that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than you could ever ask or imagine for your life. But you have to make a decision. Do I want God in my life? Am I ready to let him call the shots in my life? For me, I didn't have to look very long and think very hard, because I looked at my own life and said, man, I'm a horrible manager of my life. God, you got it. I want you to come in. I want you to lead my life and fill me with your spirit. Let your spirit come and live inside of me. And I made that decision and my life changed. And I want to give you an opportunity to make the same decision that I made. Even if you're watching online perhaps, and somehow you came across this feed and you're like, what is this? Jesus died for you so that you could be made right with God. So that God could come and invade your life and give you the life you've always dreamed to have. And not only that, but he's always dreamed you to have too. And it's waiting by you making a decision today. Say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to let your Holy Spirit come and live inside me. So if you want to make that decision, you're ready to pray this prayer with me, then I'm going to ask you to do something really bold. I just want you to raise your hand right where you're sitting, so I can see it and so I know who I'm praying for today or who I'm praying with. Could you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I know that is what I need to do in my life. Anyone at all, just raise your hand up. God bless you guys. Yeah, God bless you. As our volunteers are giving you this card, I want you to pray this prayer. Even at home, if you're ready to make a decision to follow Jesus, I want to pray this prayer with you at home. And what I'd ask you to do is just simply pray this prayer after me. In church, you can pray with us too. Encourage these guys that are praying this prayer for the first time in their life. Just pray after me. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. Thank you for dying for my sins and reconciling me back to God. I ask that you send your Holy Spirit to live inside of me and fill me with your power. Fill me with your forgiveness. Fill me with your love so that I can go out and serve others in the same way you serve me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, hey,
thank you for listening. We pray this message has ministered to your heart. If you live in the Las Vegas area, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We are located at 4500 West Sahara Ave, just east of Decatur Boulevard. We'd love to hear from you and pray for you in anything you may be going through right now. Reach us by phone at 702-254-2251 or visit our website at vbfvegas.org.